right on the pulpit. So, it's always difficult to try to figure out how do you introduce the message for today. And one of the blessed things that I have is that every once in a while the Lord will give me what I would call a unique opening. And so this unique opening takes me back, 30, 40 years ago, a long time ago. And we were in Hawaii. And Bev's brother, who has been a commercial pilot for quite a while, started out sailplaning. How many of you know what a sailplane is? So a sailplane is something that they attach to a powered plane. They drag it up into the about 5,000 feet, and they release it. And a sailplane then, without any motors, is floating and going back and forth over everything. It is phenomenal, because all you can hear is the rush of the wind over the wings. And so a good sailplane pilot learns how to read the clouds. He reads the terrain so that he can look for uplifts, because otherwise, you know, it'll go straight for a while, but sooner or later it's going to go down. But if you bank around and you turn and you go up next to the cliffs where you get the uplift of the ocean breeze coming up against the mountains, and it lifts the plane up and we get up higher, and you just keep drifting in this pure quiet. But it takes a lot of talent. And this was happening on Dillingham Airfield, which is on way on the one end of the island. Okay. Then on the same side, on the east side of the island, you go all the way to the other end, and at Makapu Point, there's another way that people are depending upon the air currents. And that's, what do they call it? Right, no, but the other one is kind of those parachute things. They jump off the kite and they fly. And it's interesting because it was my favorite place to surf, so quite often I got to watch them as I was waiting for waves to come in, and they would be up there and they would just go back and forth. They'd come way out over the water and then come back, and always watching for the clouds and the winds and everything else to sense when they could get that lift so that they wouldn't have to come down too soon. And so it's that concept of aerodynamics that got me thinking about that, is that today's message is really about God figuring out how to lift us up. And we need God to lift us up. And Paul has been speaking for so long. This thing's picking up all my puffs. So long about the problem that we have with sin, and that how God has come to redeem us from sin, and all of these things that he's been talking about, the great gift of salvation. And he's been there trying to encourage these people to proclaim the good news. The good news is that Jesus has saved us from our sins. But so often, instead of seeing the save part, we focus on the sin part, and we don't have any uplift in our lives. And so here in Romans chapter 8, I think that we have a brand new avenue by which God shows us what he wants us to do. So if you would turn to Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 16, we're going to cover the whole thing today, and I hope that it will be very uplifting, pun intended, for you today. Romans 8, 1 to 16. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of God might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh, you mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So if so be, the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of us. And as I got thinking about this, you know, it seems a little bit confusing in there, right? If you have and if you don't have and everything. But I think the illustration that came to me via the soaring plane was the fact that in aerodynamics, there is a concept that they use to cause planes to fly. How in the world do we get these 1,000-pound things to get up in the air? And it basically is a vacuum situation where they shape the wings in such a way that as the wind comes over, it creates a little, if you notice most of the wind, they're kind of curved, and that creates a little vacuum. And that vacuum then, what does the vacuum do? It sucks things up, right? And so it sucks things up. And so here we are, and we're in this world, and we need to be able to say, God, I need you to create a vacuum in my life, an emptiness where I'm willing to be, allow you to lift me up and to experience your presence, to experience the glory, to see things that I have not seen before, just like you do in a sailplane, just like you do today. We have the miracle of these little drones, and it's always amazed me that, you know, you see more and more pictures where you get the aerial views of something, and it's because of the easiness of these drones. And what do? They whirl, and they create a vacuum that sucks them up, contrary to the law of gravity. And the law of sin would say, you need to stay down here. But the law of God says, I want you to lift you up here. I want to create something where you desire to come towards me. And so that is what the Spirit of God is there. And he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And the question has to be, is are we truly desiring to walk after the Spirit of God? What do I mean by the Spirit of God? I'm saying that for those of us that have come to know Jesus Christ, he has come and he abides within us, right? And the problem is are we creating space, a vacuum, in our lives where he can meet that need? The problem with most of us is we make ourselves so busy that there is no room for God. There is no vacuum because we're busy, busy, busy. We got our checklist, and part of that checklist, maybe I got to read my Bible, I got to go to church, I got to make sure that I do this, I got to give to those in need, and all. And we have all these things, but we're never listening for the Spirit of God. We're never looking for the Spirit of God to lift us up. We're expecting that we have to do it all on our own. And we get held down by that one thing that keeps most planes down, gravity, a natural law, because we are not yielding to the Spirit of God. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You've got to understand that Paul just got speaking about what in Romans 7? In the simplicity form. The things I want to do, I can't do. The things I don't want to do, those are the things I do. And this is the problem I'm stuck with all the time. And so what do? We end up beating ourselves up, right? We condemn ourselves. And he says, therefore now, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. In other words, we don't consider the fact that there's gravity pulling us down. We realize that there is a power that can lift us up. But walk in spirit. And I think that the one thing, especially as fundamental Baptists, that we need to realize is that there has to become a place of emptiness in our hearts where the Spirit of God has room to begin to lift us up. To lift us up above the ways of this world, to lift us up above the plans and the goals of this world, and lift us up to see something far better that he has created for us. There therefore is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Do you understand that? You will not be condemned by God. So there's a burden off of you right now. Take your sins and put them over here. And now we have to go over here and we have to say, but those sins were meeting a need, Lord. Illegitimately, but they were meeting the need, right? So Lord, I need you to help me to find your way. I need you to lift me up to see how I can change and become more like Christ. I need to walk in the Spirit. I need to pursue the Spirit. Verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And ask yourself, why is it that my mind gets so consumed about my failures, my sin, and so consumed and worried about dying? Because the devil wants that way. He doesn't want you to have any confidence in God. He doesn't want you to be able to speak to the Spirit of God. So he keeps you busy so that you can't and that you won't. And so we need to begin to say, I am not condemned. I have the ability to be lifted up by the Spirit of God. I'm going to ask the Spirit of God to begin to move in my life and in my heart. Which means what? You're no longer going to be normal. Sorry, that's just a fact of life. You want to stay normal, you'll continue to sin. But if you want to be exceptional, then you're going to have to create that vacuum that the Holy Spirit can come in and fill. And he is going to get you to do things that you're not used to doing in ways that you're not used to doing them. Because these are now God's ways, not your ways. As his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, so are God's ways higher than our ways. As heaven is high above the earth, So are God's ways so far much better than ours? And so we have to allow this vacuum to be created, not holding on to our sin, but leaving that aside and allowing the Spirit of God to begin to lift us, to work in us, to cause us to do things differently. And it says in verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. God comes up to you and he says, you know what, Greg? You know what's holding you down? It's your sins. And my Son came to die for your sins, and he has taken those sins off of you, so now your light is a feather. But even a feather isn't going to move unless what? There's wind. And so we have been lightened of the burden of sin, but are we really allowing the Spirit of God to move us, to give us direction? Are we listening for the Spirit of God? Are we in the Word of God so that we can not check another mark on a box, but hear the Spirit of God telling us what we need to do next? No, instead of what we can do, well, I did it again. The thing I didn't want to do, that's the thing I did. And the thing that I wanted to do, I didn't do. And God is disappointed with me. And God could never use me. Hey, there's no condemnation. Stop condemning yourself. Allow the Spirit of God to begin to lift you up and strengthen you. And he goes on and he says what? In verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You're going to see this throughout the book, the chapter 8 of Romans. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And we talked about this in Sunday school because it came up as I was developing this flesh. What in the world do we mean when we say flesh? Ow! That stuff? It's far better than that. The other word that's quite often used is called carnal. And carnal, we get, it's the same thing that we get from carnivore. And a carnivore is something that eats meat. So, right, it has to do with this stuff that's physical, that's on our body, right? And so how does that have anything? Is my muscle and my skin tissue, that's what's keeping me from the Lord? Is that what he's doing? No. It's talking about our flesh. Our flesh interacts with our world through five senses. They are sight, sound, hearing, seeing, taste, and touch, right? So think about it. Ooh, this feels good. I like this. Right? And so this begins to, I like it so much, I begin to sit down. Or I see something, and, oh, look at that picture, it's so pretty. I like that. Isn't that wonderful? And we go, oh, look there. Oh, that. And we get so enraptured with the things we're seeing. We get so enraptured with the things that we touch. We get so enraptured by the aroma of whatever it is that you like to eat. For me, it's my wife's cinnamon raisin cookies. Hint, hint. So there's my flesh, right? And I got plenty of it because of it. So, and then we have hearing. Oh, did you hear about? Did you know that you could see all this information that comes flooding in through here, and it distracts us from being there, and we're being led by the things of the flesh? And what was the other one? Yeah, okay. Goodies, taste. Do you know why sugar is so popular today? Because it excites the taste buds, right? Think about it. Sugar was not that popular a long time ago. And as I said, it's amazing what they've done to promote sugar. And they wonder why we're obese. It's because of the flesh, right? And in verse 4, it says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh. You know how we're the only way that we're ever going to be pleasing to God is if we're not walking after the flesh. We're deciding that we're going to need to make a change in the contour of the blades by which we fly. We're going to have to create a vacuum for God to lift us up. And that vacuum is by saying no to some of these fleshly, carnal attitudes. And saying yes. It's not just a matter of denial. No. It's a matter of desiring. I'm going to get rid of this so I can get this. So that God can lift me up. And so this is what we need to be pursuing if we're in Christ Jesus, right? And verse 5, it says, and after that, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So once again, this further clarifies what we're talking about. Are you really craving the things of the Spirit? Are you really listening for the Spirit of God? You want me to tell you one reason why we don't crave for the things of the Spirit of God? Because they take time to discover. Oh, it's one thing. Yeah, we're distracted by all our worldly, fleshly lusts. But most of those are what? Immediate satisfaction. Immediate, illegitimate meeting of a need that God has given to us. A desire that God has given to us. But if we are willing to wait, then the Spirit of God has the ability to time. Does a plane just automatically take off in the air? No, it's got to go down the runway. It's got to wait for that vacuum to be created to lift it. And so we need to be a little more patient, waiting for God to begin to cause an emptiness and to begin to lift us up. But it takes time. But I want it now. Pastor, this sermon is all I need. I don't need any more. Right? Because we want it to instant. And so we have this wrestling match that's going on to us. But what Paul is saying, he says, you know what? Let's walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And we will fulfill all that God has put us here to do. Let's go on. For to be carnally minded is death. In other words, if you're going to listen to all your senses and respond to them and meet their needs, then you're going to end up spiritually dying. And I believe that there is a spiritual death and there is a physical death. The spiritual death is where we are separated from God eternally. Right? For a lot of us, there is a certain amount of spiritual death that's going on because of our sins. We're not listening to God. There is no vacuum to lift us up. We're staying on the ground. We're stuck where we are because we're not allowing God to create that vacuum. We're not desiring God to create that vacuum. We're not moving forward. We're saying, okay, Lord, anytime you're ready now. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. You do your thing first, and then I'll try. Right? We're not willing to get moving forward and allow the Spirit of God, the wind of the Spirit of God, to move over us and begin to lift us and to change our character and to change our goals and to change our lives. We want Him to happen while I'm sitting here in church while Pastor speaks. We're not willing to go out and practice or move forward with what we're challenged to do. And I'm not just picking on me. I'm just saying this is a spiritual tendency in all of us. That's what Paul's addressing here. And he goes on, he says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You're not going to please God by doing that. You're not going to please God by continuing to pursue all the things that you want, all the things that you're demanding that God give you, because that's what you want. And you don't see anything in the Bible says that thou shalt not have a colored TV that's 72 inches and has 125 channels. Or a new Lamborghini. Never had seen a sense of owning a Lamborghini, but that's neither here nor there. Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Listen to this. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, he is none of us. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of the sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up the Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So here we go. The question really has to come down to this. Are you saved? Oh, no. I did not say, are you a member of Montague Baptist Church? I did not say, are you baptized? I said, are you saved? What do I mean by that? Have you had got a point in your life where you see that I was this and that it was an emptiness and I recognize that because I have been pursuing all this carnal stuff, there was no God able to lift me? But I believe that Jesus Christ came to this world to pay for all of my failures and that he came to give me a new life and that he wanted to put his Holy Spirit in me so that I could be lifted up to be like Jesus Christ my Lord, to be like the resurrected Savior. You see, he's not still here on this earth. He's been resurrected. He's been ascended and he wants the same for us. But it has to start. Paul is saying, if we walk in the Spirit, we will be lifted up. But if you're not walking in the Spirit, then this first thing you have to go and ask yourself is, am I certain that I have received Christ in my life? Do I see a point where I once was this, but now in Christ I'm that? There will be changes. Some of them will be monumental. Some of them will be small in comparison to what you think everybody else has experienced. But the question is, as the Spirit of God, do you sense Him living in you? If you do not sense Him living in you, then you have to go back to stage one. Admit that you have violated all that God has called you to do. Oh, I know you're in church, but that's not what God called you to do. Oh, I know you've been baptized, but that's not what God called you to do. He says you must be born again. And when you are born again, the Spirit of God comes down upon you. And then as you go through life and you begin to experience and you begin to spread your wings and you begin to try, you begin to see that the Spirit of God is able to lift you up and begin to give you insights and directions that allow you to begin to get rid of the mundane, the normal, the worldly, and to begin to take on the heavenly aspects for your life. But you have to be in Christ. The Spirit of God has to be abiding in you. or your plane wings are just plain old flat. They're never going to create any vacuum. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you lived after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Look, it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors. What are debtors? You owe somebody else. Therefore, we are debtors. Okay? We owe God this. Jesus Christ died for our sins. If we truly believe that, then we are bound and motivated to move forward in order to try to begin to repay that. Not that we can ever repay what he's done, but it's that forward movement that he wants to see in us. It's that effort to try to move forward that he is driving us for. And it says, but where our debt is to not live after flesh, not to be so consumed with what I see, with what I hear, with what I smell, with what I taste, with what I feel, but be more consumed about those things that you cannot experience in this world, looking for that higher calling, looking for that higher goal, looking for that not worldly entertainment, and looking to God and Christ. And so he says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify, what's mortify mean? Okay, die. We use the word quite often in morticians, right? And what does a mortician do today? A person dies, they drain the blood out of them, you know, they prepare them for death. But that person is dead. And if you do mortify the deeds of the body, in other words, all those sight, sound, hearing, all those sensual things, if you do begin to learn to put them aside, treat them as if they're dead, then the Spirit of God has the ability to begin to lift and fill you. Remember that emptiness? You know how that emptiness gets there in that, what creates that vacuum? By getting rid of some stuff. I know it's kind of a far-fetched thing, and I don't regret it. It was a great thing in my life. But early on in my Christian life, when I was first saved, I had quite the extensive rock collection. Not in the sense of stones, but in the sense of music. And so, when I first got saved, I mean, you know, my whole goal in life was to be able to lay down with my headphones. Anybody remember headphones? They don't have them anymore. Oh, they're going back to now. But to lay down with my headphones and sit there and just listen to my music and get into the groove, you know? And there were a few other additives in there, but that's neither here nor there. And so, but I was really convicted that that music was stimulating my senses, right? A lot of the music has a message. Every music, every song has a message, right? What was that message telling me? It was saying, we don't have time to get into that. Stay away from that, Rob. But so those messages were affecting me. The beat and the sensualness of the rhythm and everything was influencing me. And so I figured it was time that I had to get rid of my records. And at this point in my life, I says, I can't sell these things. I'd be giving that temptation to somebody else. I need to destroy those things. And now, when you spent your life collecting a whole bunch of music, and at that time it was all on LPs, CDs hadn't come out yet. I didn't like tape decks. I liked my LPs, and so I had to go and I destroyed all my LPs. You see, I put to death that portion of my life that was keeping me from being lifted up by the Spirit of God. And I think when it's here and it says, mortify the deeds of the flesh, one of the reasons that we are not seeing the Spirit of God moving mightily amongst us, not lifting us up, is because we are not willing to put to death certain things, items, habits in our lives and just say, I got to get rid of it. You have to go to the extreme, right? You have to say, no more. It's like, I firmly believe that when I finally get serious about going into, and I've seen this happen over, when I finally get serious about doing my diet, I know you get sick and tired of me, but it's a great illustration of the temptation of the flesh for me, right? That one of the things I have to do is I just have to go a full day without eating. 24-hour fast. And like, it purges me of all those desires. It makes it easier. I still, temptation comes back around and haunts me, and I've made progress, but not great progress, okay? But I'm just using that as an illustration of mortifying the deeds of the flesh. So, my friends, what I'm here today is to ask you, where is it? Sorry, thing went to sleep. Isaiah 40:31. It says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And the eagle is used because of its ability to soar, its ability to watch the currents and catch the currents and allow it to keep it lifted up. Right? It creates that hollow, and it's able to rise up, and then we don't become weary. And my friends, what I'm saying to you today is, you and I today are faced with a difficult task. What deed do I need to mortify in my flesh today? What deed do I need to set aside so the Spirit of God can begin to fill that void and lift me up and to make me more like Christ, to make me more like Jesus, my Savior? What is it that I need to peel off? What is it that I need to get rid of so that He can begin to take control? We all want to be Spirit-filled. Right? We don't all necessarily want to roll down the aisles or anything like that, but we do want to be Spirit-filled. We want to believe that God is guiding every step of our lives, but the problem is we got so much baggage in our hold that we can't get off the burn. And the other thing is we want to just sit here and listen about it and say, yeah, that was good. Good job, Pastor. You did a great job. Oh, that was a wonderful sermon. Good job, Pastor. That's a great job. Bye. We need to start moving forward with this, which means we need to start saying, I got to get rid of this. I got to get rid of that so the Spirit of God can fill that void and lift me up. Are you ready for that today? Can you consider that and pray about that? Remember, it doesn't happen instantaneously. It takes time, but it takes time of you consistently moving in the same direction. If that plane at any time stops moving forward, it will fall. And if we don't keep moving forward for Jesus, we're going to fall. And it's not going to be a pleasant experience. Don't you want the Spirit of God to control your life? Then peel off the baggage and start moving forward with what God directs you to do. And we'll be excited, realizing there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus and walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you've given us this powerful illustration. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to soar like eagles. Lord, that we will wait upon you. And that we will see that we are your workmanship, that you're the one that is doing all this in us. You even bring us to this point of realizing we need to peel off these things and get rid of them. You even give us a little bit of push to move in the right direction. And then, Lord, you create that vacuum and you lift us up into your presence and let us experience the greatness and the glory of a God Almighty who cares for us